In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Do you know the nursery rhyme? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Someone wrote a response. Lord, what I really wonder about Humpty Dumpty is, why was he up on a wall? Everyone knows if he hadn't been, he would have avoided the fall. Was it merely a whim or a response to a dare, or did he have good reason for being there? Regardless, I do know that what all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't do, the King of Kings could, the King of Kings did, the King of Kings, Jesus, puts us back together again. That's the message from God's Word tonight. From the Old Testament scripture reading, 2 Samuel, and from the Gospel reading, both of them, Jesus is the only one who can put us back together again. So tonight, I'll challenge you and ask you, have you ever thought of yourself as Humpty Dumpty? My hunch is maybe not. I'm hoping maybe after tonight's message that you realize that we are Humpty Dumpty all too often. And that as we realize who we are and what we are, that we know that it's Jesus who puts us back together again. It's not a pleasant thing to recognize ourselves as Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. That means he was someplace where he probably shouldn't have been. Where's your wall? What's your wall? What is it that Satan uses in your life that places you in places where you shouldn't be and maybe you know you're not supposed to be? Where is it that that happens and the possibility of a great fall can come? Is it television shows or TV kinds of things or movies or videos? Is it maybe gossip or maybe passing judgment too quickly on other people and seeing ourselves prideful as too good for others? Is it not reaching out and helping others as God would have us to reach out? What is our wall? Where is it that we find ourselves that we shouldn't be? And where is it that sometimes we have that great fall? It's very important that we understand that we have those kinds of places because unless we know that, we become like David in the Old Testament and Simon in the New Testament. But before we talk about them, let me talk to you about a little boy. Little boy wanted to buy his mom a gift. So he went to the store and he was looking for a cookie jar. And as the clerk helped him out and showed him all the cookie jars, he says, "Ah, but don't you have a cookie jar that you can't hear when you take the lid off and put the lid back?" He'd gotten caught, hadn't he? He'd gotten caught too many times, and he wanted to have a cookie jar, maybe like us, where he could get away with something that he shouldn't have been doing. We don't want to admit that we sit on some walls that we shouldn't be at. We don't like to admit that we have the sins that we have, and we especially don't like getting caught. We especially don't like it when somebody catches us and says, "Whoa, that was a sin. That's something that was wrong. That's something that shouldn't happen." We like to try and cover it up if we can. We like to try and point the finger at someone else and not at ourselves. It's interesting in that gospel reading then as we have of King David, the Old Testament reading of King David. The scripture reading is in chapter 12, and it's God's great love for David. Chapter 11, I hope you know the story, chapter 11 is where David sits on his wall. It starts off as David is supposed to be in battle with all the other kings. It starts off that way, but David's home where he shouldn't be. And he's up on the wall. He's up walking on his roof, and he happens to see a beautiful woman, Bathsheba. Not a problem. It's a temptation that's there. But what happens is he starts climbing up the wall, and he covets her. David has 7 wives at this time already, and so certainly should not be there to begin with, and then certainly should not be coveting another woman. But he continues then climbing up that wall as we hear the story, and he does a sinful action. He calls for her to come and then commits adultery with her. The wall continues to grow as he finds out that she has conceived a child as a result of this. And so he has to do something about it. And so, as you know, he has her husband Uriah murdered, adding sin upon sin upon sin. And after that, he tries to cover it up once again. After she has finished her mourning, he takes her into his home as his own wife, acting as if nothing was wrong. Boy, that wall is getting pretty high. And that fall has happened. A totally broken David, even though he doesn't realize it at all. And so God in his grace, God in his mercy, sends Nathan. Nathan, a man of God, who was sent to King David. Sent to King David to confront him for his sin. That's what God's word always wants to do, is to confront us of our sins so that we repent of them and ask for forgiveness. David was in very dangerous straits as he's living as if he doesn't have any sin at all. And so Nathan tells him the story. He tells him a story. David was a shepherd, about that sheep and so on. And how interesting it is. David got caught. He got caught strongly as God worked through Nathan as he told the story. And King David got so angry at that man who took, the rich man who took the one poor man's only little sheep who was like a daughter to him and so on. And David, as the king said, "This man should die." And Nathan says, "You are the man." Do you hear that in God's word tonight? I am the man. You are the woman. You are the man. As God's word comes to us tonight to remind us that we need our Lord and Savior Jesus, how important it is for us to receive that forgiveness and to benefit from that forgiveness and to be given that forgiveness, to hear that message. David heard that message. And he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan says, "The Lord has forgiven your sin." Consequences still happen, but there was forgiveness for David. How significant that is, that as we come to church, one of the first things we do is we say, "I have sinned. I am the man. I am the woman. I am the one who has sinned. I have climbed the wall, and I have had a great fall." Gospel reading. Same scenario, same kind of a thing. Jesus is at Simon's house, and Simon doesn't think that he has sinned. He was kind of like King David. He didn't see the sin in his life, but he certainly could point to somebody else's sin. That woman who was there, who was known as a sinner. David could point to that rich man who was a sinner. And Jesus points Simon to the woman. And he points Simon to the woman and says, "Simon, do you see this woman? She is truly sorry for her sin. She is truly repentant. She truly loves because she knows that I have forgiven her. And because of her great love and her faith in Jesus and so on, her sins are forgiven." And Simon's weren't. What a frightening story that is. What a frightening message in that gospel. That Simon, because he was willing to point the finger at someone else but didn't see that he had climbed the wall and he had a great fall, that he did not have the forgiveness of sins. The Japanese have an interesting saying. They say, "Forgiving the unrepentant is like drawing pictures in the water." Forgiving the unrepentant. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, forgiveness is available for all people. Jesus died for all sins, and forgiveness is there. But those who are like Simon, those who do not recognize their sin, who do not repent of their sin, who do not say, I need a Savior, they forfeit that great gift that God has given to them, and they do not receive that forgiveness that is there. How important it is that we say, along with King David, I have sinned against the Lord. And to hear the wonderful message of our pastor as he speaks the absolution to us, your sins are forgiven. Or to hear as Jesus spoke to that woman, that your sins are forgiven. Now, it might be just words. It can be that you come to church week after week after week after week, and we say that general confession that's here. We maybe don't think about that great fall or the sins or the walls that we are on, and so we go away and we don't know and realize the forgiveness that God gives to us. Tonight, Jesus would have us to understand that we're Humpty Dumpty, and we place ourselves in those situations and we sin and we have the great fall. And he comes to be the rescuer for us. He comes to be the one who puts us back together again. The Apostle Paul could say it, and we have it in one of our hymns. Chief of sinners though I be, no matter how sinful, no matter what sin it is that I have done, Jesus shed his blood for me, the red heart for the children's message. Jesus is the one who puts us back together again. And so we look to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We look to him each and every day for his forgiveness. And through his forgiveness, like the woman who received the forgiveness and showed the great love for her Lord and Savior Jesus, our lives are changed as well. And they're changed as a means that we have to serve and love Jesus and our neighbor as well. May Jesus continue to bless you and me as we find ourselves in the walls and have a great fall, but know that what all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't do, what we can't do on our own, Jesus has done, Jesus does, and he continues to do for you and for me, forgives us all of our sins. In that precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. Now the peace of God that comes through that forgiveness that he gives to us, keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus, looking to Christ Jesus, the one who puts our lives back together again. Amen.